We all have ways that we do things, and we also catch ourselves from a young age doing things that our fathers do, or our moms do, or our friends do. We just have a way of becoming very much alike those that we're with. And so the same things happen with indoctrination. And so what do you have? You have today, you have a society in this area that everybody goes to church. If you go to church, you're good. If you don't go to church, you must be bad. I mean, we just grow up having that ideology. And we grow up being indoctrinated by, well, our church does this, and, well, our church does this. And we all learn to say, well, that's okay. That's just how everybody does it. At least you go to church. And we grow up with that mental capacity in ourselves, thinking that we're okay because of what we do and because our moms and dads always did this. Somewhere along the line, as we see truth, we'll realize in this world, starting all the way back to the Roman Catholic Church, through our upbringing and through what we've done just because everybody else did it, we find ourselves being indoctrinated or becoming somebody that has accepted just because somebody did it, must make it true or must make it okay. When it's the very thing that will send you to hell if you trust in any of those things as if it's going to save you. So the issue comes back to the only way you can be doctrinated in the correct way is to know the truth. Because even the Word of God is clear, saying the truth shall what? It'll set you free. Okay? So it's the issue of knowing what Christ did, nothing of ourselves, that brings salvation to us. Even those who start grasping the truth as far as knowing that Christ died on the cross, forgave us of our sins, was dead, buried, and resurrected the third day, and according to the Scriptures, that's how we know we're saved, by trusting in what He did. We tend to grasp that truth as a body of believers, as grace believers, and the next thing you know, we find ourselves being back indoctrinated or going right back to the elements that we were in before. And I talked about last week, we become lazy, we become prideful, we become selfish, we become to be a people that just, I just want to do this because that's what I want to do. Mm-hmm. And so we become irresponsible, or we just become a society of people who know the truth, but yet don't live the truth. Now, which one's worse? Look, as far as the way you live, I think it would be worse to know the truth and not live the truth. Because you not only affect everybody around you and your family, you affect the whole society that you're with every day. So the issue comes along sometime in your life, you draw a line in the sand that you just make a decision, at all costs, because of my faith, I'm going to be doctrinated in the right way. And we use the Word to say that it's perfect, that it's right, that it's the authority, so we need to live that way. Now, in saying all that, you can't live that way if you don't divide the Word rightly, because there are things in the Old Testament compared to things in Paul's letters that are absolutely go against each other. Are they both right? Absolutely. I mean, they're both right. What we talked about last week, Sunday morning we talked about, in Matthew it talks about, take no thought what you should eat, or what you would wear, what your clothes wear, or how you, just take no thought of those things. As if the birds of the air are going to come and bring us food if we don't do anything. Well, what does Paul say? He that won't work is worse than an infidel. Well, which one is it? They're both right, but they both have the elements or the dispensations of the times of how we're supposed to live. In saying all that, I made one comment last week that has stuck with me the whole time, and it was the fact that God's Word says it will not return void. Okay, so if we don't understand something in God's Word, if we compare Scripture to Scripture, and it says two things that are different, it won't return void, but we've got to know in context what it's talking about. The only way you can know that is not being lazy and studying the Word. And I made the comment that God's Word will not return void, but the problem today is we're void of God's Word. We put things in front of it. We become a busy people who actually come to a point to where we don't care if other people get it or not. Now, all I'm saying is things that where I have been before, and at times I find myself at again. And it's wrong, because I start trusting in the flesh instead of the things of the Spirit. I make the things of the flesh more important than the things of the Spirit. So we become just as bad. In saying all that, go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. While you're turning there, I made the reminder last week is today in society, even in the religious world, if you go into a Christian bookstore, you know what you're going to find? The same thing you find a lot of times out in the world. Turn to the books, or to the magazines, or to the CDs. Is it only really good-looking people that can sing and write? Because, I mean, let's face it, they look great. You know, today, what moves people? Entertainment? Looks? All these things. And it's all about money. And it's all about power. Even in the religious world, we don't need to be deceived. I've been deceived for a long time. Okay? And I find these things out as you study more and more and you see what people do. Best of the time, I'll give you one of the people I thought was one of the greatest writers in the world. When I used to take his books, man, he could make me cry, he could make me laugh, he could just, everything about him, he could move me to where whatever he said, now you know what I'm saying, I felt like it was the truth. Well, a lot of times we start feeling like something is the truth. It don't always make it the truth, does it? Just because somebody says how they feel, that doesn't make it true, right? And so, I could read this guy, I'm not going to bring up his name, but come to find out, I thought, man, this guy is just, God is just speaking to him straight out of an audible voice. How does he write this stuff? How does he make me feel like I'm right there? And there's nothing wrong with a good writer. But if we base it on our doctrine and how we want to live, there's a big problem. It will deceive you. Just like music will, commercials will, you know. I'm the world's worst. I am not going to tell them that, but I'm the world's worst. I find something I think maybe this will do it or maybe this will work. I'll order it. Well, nobody's going to put something on TV that doesn't look like it's going to work, so you'll order it. Right? It just doesn't happen that way. So we're a society that are susceptible with what we see, what we hear, what we smell, and we base truth on emotions. Right? We do that. And so the next thing you know, we follow a religion that seems cool, that looks good, that feels right, and the whole time they're sharing things that aren't true. That's what Satan loves. Satan will love the fact that you will trust in somebody else instead of what his word says. He wins. You know, he doesn't deceive people anymore by what would you call it, by giving them witchcraft. Satan does not deceive people by doing things to them. He deceives people by the word. That's what he uses. If he can get you to believe things that are wrong and use God's word, have a man move you the wrong way, then what do you got? You have a full world of deception in a religion. You know, the very things that Christ attacked was what? When he walked the earth, who did he go to? Those in the bars? He went straight to the synagogues. He went straight to the Pharisees. And the high priest. And what did he do? He called them snakes. I mean, think about it. And yet we think, just because they go to church, they must be good. Let me tell you something. Some of the meanest people in the world go to church. If somebody's really mean, you're not going to hang around them. So they're not going to deceive you. It's the ones that make you feel good. It's the ones that can move you the way they want to move you so they can be selfish and take from you what they want and say, well, God must be blessing me. Look what I've got. It's a full of deception, and that's the world we're in. There are movies, music, commercials, speakers that continuously share wrong information, that fill auditoriums up, that bring kids to camp, that take us to shows, that we walk out feeling a sense of awe of an aura. And 9 times out of 10, they're so contextually, they use the word to move you wrong because they don't share the truth. So don't be deceived. That's why Paul says in Ephesians chapter 4 to not be turned with every wind of doctrine, tossed to and fro. Right? If you believe the word is true, then based on what 2 Peter chapter 3 says, to read Paul's epistles. Because Paul's epistles are our epistles for our doctrine. Does that mean the rest of the word is not important? No. Because in 2 Timothy chapter 3, look at verse 1. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now when I used to read that, you know what I used to think of? People that were in jail. People that were in the bars. The drunks. Those who took drugs. Those who talk bad about... I mean, you know, you just when you read that, you think, man, these were bad people. May I remind you, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, who Paul's writing to? He's writing to those people who had grasped the grace of truth, and he's given them a warning because they've become indoctrinated with things that are false. Let me give you an example. Nobody's going to follow the guy that just got out of jail. Nobody's going to follow the drunk or the drug addict. If they're in their right mind at all, nobody's going to follow the one that the world will tell you is bad. Well, you think Paul has to write to us to tell us not to hang around with criminals or murderers or adulterers? You think Paul would write in this letter for us to stay away? You think he would need to help us with that? Who do you think he's talking to? Those that will easily convince you to believe that are not telling the truth. Where are they at? They're found behind the pulpits in churches. They're found in those leading clubs and programs that are called Awana or other things that are great programs maybe, but not sharing the truth because they don't understand the word themselves. Get this. Let's look at it again. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. Turn the TV to the religious channels. Look at the stage. Look at the $1,000 suits. Look at the fancy hair. Look at the soap opera style look that they get. You know what they are? They're lovers of their selves. They're more concerned with you being in awe of them, bringing glory to themselves, going, wow, these people are smart. And they're bringing glory to themselves, and they're not bringing glory to what Christ did at all. Just watch and listen. In the last days, men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous. They'll want more. Let me tell you something. This was me. Every church I went to be a youth pastor, always struggled to have a good youth group that I went to. You know what the goal was? Build this factory. Right? Being covetous of other churches. I would go to other churches and see what they would do, and I would mix their good stuff with my good stuff, and before you know it, Timmy would know it, we would build a group, 100, 150 kids. All of a sudden, the churches would come to us and want to know, well, how'd y'all do this? Because we would take one from 17 to 100. You know, within a year. Why? Because, man, I could make you laugh. I could build the best team. It was just something I was capable of doing. So, that's being covetous. Always wanting to be the next mega church. They're not concerned with the soul. They're not concerned with those knowing what Christ did to save your life. They're more concerned with how many baptisms they had last year. You watch the Southern Baptist Church's main focus. Look, I was involved for years. When I went to the Southern Baptist Convention, we didn't talk about how many were saved. We talked about how many baptisms we had. Who had the most? Well, then the smaller churches felt left out, so we started doing percentages. Look, people, in the last days, he's saying you better make sure the man that stands behind the pulpit is sharing the truth. And that you better become doctrinated with what the Word says and not with how people make you feel must be right. You know what that means? That means quit taking for what I say for granted. Quit being lazy and study the Word so you won't be deceived. That's the issue. If you're not studying, I'll move you any way I want to move you. Because I know the Word good enough that if I wanted to deceive to gain for myself, that's what I would do. That's why also in 2 Timothy chapter 3 it talks about you study the Word. For why? For correction. For reproof. For doctrine. So that you will be thoroughly furnished for the work that you need to do. Right? And so look what all it says. Coveters. Boasters. Man, let me tell you what. I can remember sitting in the stands with the other preachers and them talking about what all happened Sunday. How often do you hear, you young guys that are in here tonight, or how often do you hear older people when you go to church, go to work the next morning, or go to school, how awesome of a time your youth group or your church service was? Have you ever just said, well, what scripture did they use? Well, man, I don't know, but let me tell you what happened. What's important? I mean, just think about it. But anyway, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. Man, they'll get so hopped up, they'll go against the grain of what their parents say because, well, I can tell this just feels right. And it just happens every time. Incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. Well, those that are good, when it's speaking of the Word, is what? Those that won't deceive. Those that know the truth of the Word. And they don't like that. That's just the Word. We got to have a program. We got to do it like so-and-so did. Well, those things that are good are through the Word. On and on it goes, you know, high-minders, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Here's why I said, Paul's not sitting here writing to people that just got out of jail. Notice what the next verse says in verse 5. Having a form of godliness. See, Paul's warning these in this letter, you better look out for those who sneak into other churches that look right, that look godly, okay, but are wicked. See, that's what you're up against. You can walk outside and tell whether somebody's, just by what you hear, see, and look at, you can tell those things that'll get you in trouble. You know where you can't tell it? Those that are full of religion that'll move you any way they want to move you. Okay? That's why it's important to know the Word. But he says, having a form of godliness, look at this, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Verse 6. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, the things that they want. Ever learning, oh man, they know the Scripture. Hey, let me tell you something. They know the Scriptures. They just use them out of context. They know how to get you. They know how to make you feel happy. Or how to break you down and make 60 people come to the altar and make you cry so you'll give more. They know how to make you feel like you need to do something. Ever learning and never able to come to what? The knowledge of the truth. In other words, these people are smart. They're smooth. They have the ability to lead a crowd and to make that crowd feel like this guy has got it, will do whatever he wants to do. And that person, ever learning, but never knowing
the truth.
Because you know what the truth is?
The truth is the fact that Christ did it all. And you did nothing for your salvation. And you know what they tell you? Just come to the altar. If you'll ask Jesus in your heart, if you'll get baptized, if you'll pay 10%, if you'll just speak in an unknown tongue, they'll put all these things you need to do. And the whole point is they never knew the truth themselves. Because they never trusted that their salvation rested in the fact that they can do nothing but accept trust in what Christ did on the cross. Well, that's the picture of indoctrination that this world has been going through for, if it was going on with the Apostle Paul. You ever heard the comment, you know, you ever feel like you have, you know, you just messed something up and you see you sweep it under a rug and you think maybe it'll go away and like 2 weeks will go by and then you feel like all of a sudden that's come back out and there's something else. And so you sweep that back under the rug too. And so then, you know, you ever notice that next thing you know, it's like a snowball. Just roll. Ask a meth addict that's trying to come out of being a meth addict. They just can't get enough. Ask somebody who is so focused on religion. They'll go to church to get their high. Okay? And it has nothing to do with the Word. And you know what they got to do? By next Sunday, man, if that preacher don't make them cry or laugh or make them feel a certain way, they'll tell you it was a dead service. And they need more every time. That's how the flesh does. It always wants more. But it's like the snowball just rolling down this hill, getting bigger and bigger and bigger. Okay? That's the same picture that indoctrination does. Right? Now think about it. If Paul, as Romans chapter 15 says that Paul was the apostle to the Gentiles, you're a Gentile. You're not Israel. Okay? If Paul says he was the apostle of the Gentiles and he wrote 13 letters to teach you proper doctrine so that when you read these others, it would be perfect, but you would realize God spoke to Israel in a different dispensation than how he speaks to those that are saved today. Okay? And he fought it with every letter. He had to defend every letter. If you go back that far, and it's still going on today, how big do you think that snowball is? It's huge. But you know what the world makes you feel like? It's getting better. No, they'll make you feel like, this is the place. Let me tell you something. The Word of God says that Satan is the god of this world. And that he deceives people, when somebody's consumed with Satan? Not with having the demon over you. Not with people being mean to you. It's not with all these other things. He deceives you by the Word, is what he uses. And so you better be careful, because in the end times, it's those who stand right back here and show you wrongly to where you never know the truth. Even though they seem right. Even though they seem right, they tell you you better follow the commandments to be saved. You can't do it. That's why Christ died on the cross. Is it important that we follow the commandments? Absolutely. But don't think it saves you or has anything to do with your salvation, because it don't. The only thing it has anything to do with your salvation is what Christ did at the cross. That's it. So we see this, and I tell you what, just go to 2 Timothy on the same chapter, chapter 3. I'm not going to get anywhere where I want to go. It's all y'all's fault. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Take the scripture for what it says. It'll help you a lot. Just look at verse 15. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for what? For doctrine. I mean, you have to divide all scripture to be profitable for doctrine. For you could say, well, I believe I follow Paul's letters because this. You have to defend it yourself, so you can't be lazy in the Word.
Okay, it's all profitable for doctrine, for reproof. So when I'm up here teaching, if you see something that I am not sharing correctly that deceives somebody, you need to let me know. Not just for me, but for everybody. For reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. That the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. So it's clear. That's what we need to be as a body of believers. But in saying all that, that means all Scripture is profitable. Okay? So we see that. Now, I wanted to get to Matthew tonight because my point in saying all this tonight is the fact that you can even take things that took place in Matthew and you can make it, you can show it to me. Absolutely, God is such an amazing God. You can take it back to Exodus and see that He'll use everything in the Word to prove it absolutely perfect. And so, we were in Matthew a while back, and we know Matthew was written to Israel. We know Matthew was a time where Christ was walking the earth, right? Sharing the truth, and at the beginning you have John the Baptist telling people to prepare the way. It was to prepare the way for a kingdom that was coming. Well, probably 99% of all preachers tonight that would preach Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John would preach as if it speaks to you, as if Christ had already died on the cross. And they'll preach it as if Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John have something to say to you about forgiving you for all your sins. To where if you study Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, it's very clear Christ hadn't even died yet. Not only that, there are scriptures that relate, as in Matthew 16 and Matthew 19, that Christ even told them that what He was going to do. Right? And what's the same for that? God hid it from them that they had no understanding. So any preacher that takes you to Matthew and tries to share you about salvation through Christ dying for your sins, they can't take you there. Because it hasn't happened yet. Perfect example of man using the Word and translating the Word. He can't even get the titles correct. You know it? Because it's clear, if Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Christ did not die on the cross yet, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, well, in my book, it says New Testament. Well, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are Old Testament books. You can't have a New Testament without the death of a Testament. Now, it's not me that says that. I'm just going to give you an example. Go to Hebrews, real quick. Hebrews chapter 9. The reason I'm going here is I want you to, there's some things that when you study the Word, you've got to see. Hebrews chapter 9, look at verse 16. Now let's be real clear here. Everybody thinks Hebrews as if that's a letter that gives us our doctrine. Who in here is a Hebrew? If you got a letter that said, to those that are Hebrew, would that letter speak directly to you? You're not a Hebrew. Okay? But today, I'll tell you that's your letter that speaks to... That is a letter that is profitable for us to know so that we can defend the truth. That letter is full of truth, but it's God speaking to those things to come in history to a nation of Israel that's going to be a kingdom of priests when we're out of here. Okay? But in Hebrews, it's clear. Look what happens in verse 16. For where a testament is, there must also of what? Necessity. That means it has to happen, okay? If you think, no, it doesn't matter what it says, well, then you can't say the Word of God's perfect. Or the Word of God's a lie if you say that that necessity doesn't mean necessity. It says, for where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of a testator. For a testament is of force after men are dead. Well, as I read in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Christ died at the very end of all those letters. Correct? So Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the very beginning, is nothing but history of Christ walking the earth after John the Baptist warns them to prepare the way for the kingdom is at hand. Why? Because had Christ not been crucified, he would have set a kingdom up. And we would have been saved by what Israel did, bringing glory to who? Israel, right? But instead, the glory goes to whom? Jesus Christ for dying for us. That's why you're not saved through Israel. You're saved through Jesus Christ. They didn't have a clue. It says if they were known, they would not crucify them. Right? On it says, for a testament is in force after men are dead. Otherwise, it is of no strength at all while the testator liveth. Okay, so we got to know those things. Why is that important for us to know? That tells us that all Scripture, because today people stand by the pulpit and tell you just because man wrote New Testament, that must be the New Testament because somebody wrote it. The only things in your Word that are truth are things that man has self-imposed. You know, like little italics or at the bottom of your Bible, the cute stories or the places to tell you to turn to here and here. That's what man puts in. But what Scripture is Scripture, they'll answer. Scripture will answer itself. When you ask somebody a question about the Word of God, let them take you to Scripture to answer it. Because if they can't, then they don't know the answer. I made a comment today. We were talking about one thing that Steve said a long time ago about a lady that came in from work, and the issue was she asked him a question. I can't remember what it had to do with. It may have been abortion or something like that. She asked Steve about it, and he just said, well, the Bible says this. Well, she got furious. She says, I can't believe you think that. I can't believe you telling me that. She goes, well, I didn't tell you that. The Bible said. See, people can argue with the Bible with you all they want. They argue with the Bible. They're just saying the Bible's not the authority. You've got to base your opinion on what the authority is. What somebody tells you, or what somebody proves you in the Word. And that's what's important. Now the reason I said all that is, as we read these Scriptures, as we see these things, to know that it makes the Word that much more perfect when it answers Scripture with Scripture. And so over the next few weeks, we're going to talk about John the Baptist and Matthew and locusts and honey. And I was talking to Joe that it's amazing just every little thing and every detail in the Word of God that is Scripture, you can just follow it and prove it that it's absolutely perfect. I mean, absolutely perfect. Take your time this week and just look at the Scriptures that bring out locusts. Just it is something else. I'll tell you just an example. We'll touch on this next week. But when Moses went into Egypt, this is just how awesome God is. When Moses went into Egypt and he started talking to Pharaoh, okay, and just as an example, to get Pharaoh's attention, what did Moses do when he spoke to Pharaoh to show Pharaoh who his God was because he wanted his people to be let go? He told Moses to do what with his rod. Drop the rod and what would turn into? A serpent. I never thought about this, but to give you an example, Pharaoh's crown, the main focus, a symbol of power, was what was on his crown. A serpent. I mean, God just uses the little things to get attention. Okay? Well, what did Moses do after he dropped it and turned into a snake? What did he do next? He picked it up. Just think about the power of God about to go through and show Pharaoh who's in control. Even if you study the Word all through about the locust, you'll see the rod there. You'll see all these things. So, one of them will just read, this crazy man's walking out in the field eating locusts and honey, and like everybody all of a sudden thinks they ought to follow him and trust him. Most people trusted him and followed him because they understood what the locusts were. They understood when he was eating honey what it was. When he was wearing camel hair, what it meant. I mean, so everything you see that you taste, that you hear. I'm just saying this because emotions are great when you get emotional because you saw the truth. What's awful is most people get worked up and become emotional and think that's truth. Make sure when you get excited about the Word, you know, that it's because you got excited because you saw something that was true that proved perfect. How often have you gone into the churches that have a man behind a pulpit that get the crowd all worked up before he ever shares truth? Those are the very people that Paul says you need to watch out for. Because they'll make you be led by your emotions.